Over the years, I have become a connoisseur of a very particular political moment that happens more often than you might think. The leader of a place addresses his nation and says, "We have run out of money." This is what happened last year in Puerto Rico. I've seen the video. The governor of the island sat down in front of an American flag and a Puerto Rican flag and looked out into the camera and said these fateful words.
La deuda pública es impagable.
The public debt is unpayable. Unpayable. $72 billion worth unpayable. Soon afterwards, I started to get phone calls from a friend of mine, Luis Treyas, with the podcast Radio Ambulante. And he kept saying, "You got to get down here, man."
Yeah, I wanted you to come down because I'm not an economic correspondent. And I just wanted to get your perspective because I was sitting through the governor's announcement and I was scared, shocked. And I was mainly scared because almost everyone I know has some sort of investment in Puerto Rican bonds. My mom has invested in Puerto Rico bonds.
Chance to meet your mom. I was on a plane to San Juan, yeah. Puerto Rico.
So this is your home?
Yeah, this is where I grew up. I was born here. Well, not inside the house, but
this is still his home.
Oh, thank you.
You grew up in such a cute house, Luis. I feel bad that we are just here to have your mother show us her financial statements.
It's figured here. You see when it says money market, but I can't remember when. I'm gonna get my glasses.
This is my mom, Carmen Dolores Hernandez.
And she is adorable. She has these big three-ring binders. And clearly every month she gets a financial statement and she pulls the statement out. Doesn't look like she reads them. She punches holes in them and sticks them into the binder.
I don't know how to read any of this, you know, so I...
Like
I,
what,
I,
numbers?
I don't know how to, you know, read whatever it says here, you know, whatever it, yeah.
That's my mom.
So we walked her through the numbers and it doesn't look good. She put $25,000 into government bonds. She lent the government of Puerto Rico $25,000.
I was just shaking my head. I couldn't believe it. I mean, my mom has never invested in anything. And so it was a super surprise to hear that she was actually thinking about her own retirement and putting money away. And then I thought, oh, the one time she does this, she puts it in Puerto Rican bonds.
It was kind of like a shock when I realized I wouldn't get it back. What can I do? You tell me. What can I do about this?
We're on the case. Hello and welcome to Planet Money. I'm Robert Smith. And with me today from the great Spanish language podcast, Radio Ambulante.
I'm Luis Treyas.
Today on the show,
¿Qué le pasó al dinero de mi mamá? What happened to my mom's money?
It's a story of rum, Viagra, and a special, special section of the U.S. tax code. Puerto Rico, part of the United States, but not one of the United States. There's the problem.
We'd like to say a quick thank you to one of our sponsors, Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can avoid time-consuming trips to the post office. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package right from your computer. 500,000 small businesses already use Stamps.com. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use the promo code MONEY for a special offer. A 4-week trial, plus postage, and a digital scale. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone, and type in MONEY.
Quick history of Puerto Rico. The U.S., basically won it in a war 100 years ago.
And it hasn't really known what to do with it ever since.
I mean, it's been a great military base. They make rum there.
And also a place for spring breakers to come down. But for 3.5 million residents like me, it's home. And officially, it's known as the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico in the United States. But internally, inside the island, it's known as the Free Associated State.
I love that it is both free and associated. And in fact, like, those two words sort of capture this sense of being stuck in between a Caribbean nation and the United States. And in fact, Luis, you gave me a tour of Old San Juan, and you can just see it when you're there. Nice cobblestone streets, Spanish architecture, and then you turn the corner and you see this.
So over on our right, we have, let's see what it says there.
Oh,
it says United States Post Office and Courthouse.
And out front, what might as well be the international symbol of being part of the United States, the standard blue post office box.
Buzón, that's what they call them over here.
When it comes to the official things, Puerto Rico feels just like any other part of the United States.
So show me your wallet.
Yeah.
So this is your wallet. What do you got in here? What is this?
Those are dollars.
U.S. dollars.
$1 bills, I might add.
Puerto Rican driver's license.
Puerto Rican driver's license, yes.
What else you got?
Oh, what's this?
It's a social security card.
Luis Tres, 596.
So you do pay Social Security?
Yes.
But you do not pay income tax?
No, not federal income tax.
Oh, we should do a whole lightning round thing. U.S. citizen?
Yes.
Can you vote for president?
No.
Your roads are in?
Kilometers.
Gas?
Liters.
Street signs?
Spanish.
Of course.
Can Puerto Ricans compete in American Idol?
Yes, I think they have. They may have. And we've got Jennifer Lopez there as a judge, right?
Right, yeah, Puerto Rican, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, yeah.
And my favorite factoid about Puerto Rico, your wife was on an Olympic team. Which team was she on?
The National Puerto Rican Synchronized Swimming Team. Women's Synchronized Swimming Team.
So Puerto Ricans in the Olympics are under their own flag.
When I was growing up, it felt like you were living in the best of both worlds. You could travel to the United States, and yet you had your own national identity.
And, you know, during that time you were growing up, the United States, like, basically sent a lot of money to Puerto Rico. It took care of a lot of what the island needed. And I find that if you're trying to find the source of an economic crisis, the place to look is usually before the crisis took place, during the boom time. So, for instance, we met this one gentleman while we were touring around there. His name is George Mark. He is an architect. And he says, you would not believe what it used to be like in Puerto Rico. There was construction everywhere.
Business was very good because the island was growing quickly. There was a tremendous need for health facilities, for schools, for public housing. And basically, I specialized in that.
A lot of the stuff subsidized by the U.S. federal government. In his office, George Mark showed us all these pictures of these amazing facilities that he had built.
I even did a penitentiary, which used to have had the nickname Las Malvinas. Maybe you've heard of it.
Notorious.
They called Notorious it Las Malvinas simply because it was so secure that she couldn't escape from the place.
Yeah, when I was growing up, that place was super famous. It was like kind of our own miniature version of Alcatraz.
In the picture, it's impressive. I mean, I guess it looks like any prison. There's fences, lots of right angles. And there's this big basketball court right in the middle.
Yes, and I think George probably regretted making that open-air basketball court because that's exactly where there was a weak point that came to haunt him later on.
It was a guy, a big guy from with drugs, you know. He had lots of money. So he was able to hire a helicopter. The helicopter came down. And they used the helicopter to come in here. It was right in there that they landed. And they pulled the guy out.
And the drug lord, like, ran
yeah,
out
and
got
then
in?
Later on, they caught him anyway, I understand.
George says there was always some sort of U.S. federal grant to improve this or build that. It was the golden age in Puerto Rico.
He took a lot of the money here during the good times, and he put it away, did just like my mom, and put it in Puerto Rican bonds.
Now, the United States didn't want to just have this one-sided, we'll just send you a lot of money relationship with Puerto Rico. And it came up with a plan that took advantage of Puerto Rico's unique in-between status. And it started with this little line in the U.S. tax code, Section 936.
And for a lot of people in the island, that's a very famous number.
936.
Yes, like they know it as if it were the area code.
936 gave a huge tax break to manufacturing companies that set up shop in Puerto Rico. And there was this sort of brilliant logic at the time. The U.S. government thought, look, all these factories are always threatening to leave the U.S., to go overseas, to avoid taxes. So why not encourage them to go overseas to our own little tax haven in the Caribbean?
It was a boom. Factories started coming in. Stuff started getting manufactured and made in Puerto Rico.
Stuff other than rum?
Yes, stuff other than rum. Microsoft came in. They used to produce those CD DVDs that you used to install Microsoft Word. Those CD DVDs used to say, made in Puerto Rico.
Section 936 was also this huge draw for drug companies.
We had pharmaceutical companies all over the island, building after building.
This is Teresa Garcia. She is a chemist, and she says she would drive on the highway from one small town in Puerto Rico to another small town, and the side of the road looked like a drugstore shelf. There were buildings for Johnson & Johnson, Merck, Novartis.
You could see about 15 or 20.
You must have thought this is a great time to be a chemist in Puerto Rico.
Yes, absolutely.
Teresa worked for a bunch of them, AstraZeneca, Pharmacia, Pfizer. Perhaps you have sampled her fine work?
We manufacture their Ambien.
Ambien, the sleep drug?
Yes, yes.
I have taken an
Limodal.
Ambien before.
Limodal. You know what Limodal is?
No.
For diarrhea.
Okay. I probably have taken that too.
And there was this one place, Barceloneta. Back in the day, it was a big pineapple and sugarcane town. But over time, it became the only place in the United States where you made this very popular little blue pill.
Why would you let something like erectile dysfunction get in your way? Isn't it time you talk to your doctor about Viagra? Ask your doctor if your heart is healthy enough for sex.
Side effects of tax breaks may include a bloating of the budget, a sense of financial euphoria. If your economy booms for more than 4 years, please see an economist. Also, tax cuts may be temporary.
What was the last one?
Tax breaks may be temporary.
I don't think anyone in Puerto Rico heard that one.
Nobody ever hears that warning. But you know how it goes, right? The folks in Congress started to look at the numbers, at the success you were telling us about in Puerto Rico. But from their perspective, they thought, whoa, this tax break is too good, too successful. I mean, at one point, a huge proportion of the drugs in the United States were being made on this tiny island. The U.S. Treasury, they looked into it, was missing out on almost $4 billion a year in tax revenue. And so Congress decided this tax break has to go.
Now, if we had been a state, we would have had 6 congresspeople, 2 senators.
Who have been raising bloody hell about this.
Yes, and they would have said it's staying and that's that. And maybe they could have made a deal or filibustered.
But Puerto Rico has just one representative. Dude can't vote. Hangs out with the representative from Guam who also can't vote. And so Section 936 disappeared.
It's the story of Puerto Rico. The Congress gives it, and then the Congress takes it away.
The drug companies were out of there.
Some went to Europe, Ireland, France.
Searching for the next tax break.
Yeah. They never lose money. They always find a way.
Teresa got offered a buyout from her company before they laid off just about everyone else. And she put her money into, of course, Puerto Rican bonds.
It was brutal. Factories remained empty. Condo towers that had started being built went unfinished. And there were 3 banks that closed.
They just closed.
The FDIC came in one morning and closed the doors. And by the next morning, they were folded into other banks.
There was only really one thing left in Puerto Rico doing well. And it was those Puerto Rican bonds. And I know it may seem odd that people would still lend money to the government of an island where there is massive unemployment and shut factories and shut banks. But here's what you have to understand about these bonds. They were viewed as almost magical.
And once again, Puerto Rico's in-betweenness actually worked in our favor because it was this very in-betweenness that made these bonds triple tax exempt.
Normally, when you buy a government bond, say you lend money to the U.S. government, the government will pay you interest on that bond. And like any other income, you have to pay taxes on it. Federal taxes, state taxes, local taxes if you have them. But the Puerto Rico bonds were triple tax free.
So you didn't have to pay taxes to the city, you didn't have to pay taxes to Puerto Rico, and you didn't have to pay any taxes to the federal government.
Triple tax free. And this magic trick didn't just work in Puerto Rico. If you were an investor in Las Vegas or Miami or Chicago, you could buy Puerto Rican bonds, make a decent profit on the interest, and pay no taxes on it. Forget Viagra. These bonds were the greatest export Puerto Rico ever had.
We actually talked to the man who ran the Puerto Rican government bank in the mid-2000s.
Yeah, he created some of these bonds.
His name is Jorge Irizarry, and he told us that it was actually a responsible way in the beginning of trying to finance public projects.
Roads and bridges and electrical plants. But then, as it does, it became very tempting for the government to keep making more and more new bonds.
They were easy to sell because of the tax exemption and the credit rating at that time.
Did you know there was a problem? Were you buying bonds?
Yes, I own Puerto Rico bonds. And so does just about anybody in Puerto Rico who had some savings bought Puerto Rico bonds.
And you know how the story goes after this. Pretty soon the government started borrowing just to stay afloat, to pay salaries. And then they started borrowing to cover the borrowing. In fact, at one point, Puerto Rico created a new tax, a sales tax they had never had before. And one of the reasons they created this tax was so that they could sell bonds, so that they could borrow money that then would be paid back by the sales tax they just created.
And by the end of this run, only two states were selling more bonds than Puerto Rico, New York and California. Have you seen those states? They're huge.
I know. There's this tiny little island that's basically supplying these kind of bonds to retirees and investment firms and hedge funds across the nation.
And to be fair, there were people out there that were saying, look, this is a lot of debt for this tiny island to be taking on. But those people were largely ignored. Triple tax exempt is a lot of magic for a lot of folks. And after a while, Puerto Rico's credit goes south. And in 2015, reality set in. And that's when you get the governor sitting down in front of the cameras saying, we can't pay back.
La deuda pública es impagable.
Panic kind of sets in. I remember friends calling me up the day that the governor made the announcement saying, I'm going to my credit union and I'm taking out all the money I have in deposits.
Because, of course, it wasn't just retirees. The banks and the credit unions had loaded up on these Puerto Rican bonds, too. And people started to think, maybe my money isn't safe.
Yes, people definitely were losing it. And that's when people like my mom and Teresa and George Mark, they start looking at their statements and they are seeing that their life investments are crashing down.
The money that I get every month, I use it. I use it, you know.
You mean you live off of it?
I live off this thing, you know. When you're 86 years old and they're going to pay it 10 years from now, I don't expect to be around. You know, what sense does this make, you know?
The government of Puerto Rico is in this real bind. It says it does not have enough money to keep running the government, paying police officers, social workers, paving the roads, the whole thing. It doesn't have enough money to keep doing that and also pay off the bondholders, paying off George and Teresa and your mom. Already everyone's fighting over who will get what money is left, who will get paid before someone else. Investors are getting lawyers. Puerto Rico's missed some debt payments, says it will miss more debt payments. If Puerto Rico were a business, it would be legally bankrupt.
You know, it's ironic because Puerto Rico really is governed by U.S. law, but that is the one law that the island doesn't have access to. Because when cities and municipalities in the mainland go broke, they go into something called Chapter 9, and the federal judge figures out who gets paid and when, but not in Puerto Rico.
Right now in Washington, D.C., a lot of very serious people are asking themselves really that silly question that I had at the beginning of the podcast, which is, now, what exactly is Puerto Rico? The Supreme Court is asking this question. There is a case before them about whether the island should have some bankruptcy rights or not. Congress is asking this question. There are arguments right now about how much power Puerto Rico should have over its own budget, over its own economy. This whole thing started out as an existential crisis, and it seems to be getting worse. People seem to be knowing less about the status of Puerto Rico than they did when this whole thing started.
Yeah, I mean, welcome to my world. I feel like this is the discussion I've been having since I was born. This is what Puerto Ricans talk about. What are we? What should we be? It's what people argue over dinner. Should we be a state? Should we be an independent nation? Should we try to get a better deal under what we have right now, this territorial status?
And nobody has an answer there?
Well, everybody has their own answer. It's just like Puerto Ricans don't have a single answer about that. And that makes it so much worse.
The in-between life. And your mom? Your mom's gonna be okay?
I think so. I'm gonna try to make it so.
You are a good son. Let us know what you thought of today's show. You can email us, planetmoney@npr.org, or the Twitter. We're @planetmoney. And a special thanks to Luis for giving us a call and hosting us in Puerto Rico, and for his fantastic podcast, Radio Ambulante, for letting you spend some time with us. Here, give a pitch to your podcast.
Well, if you want to listen to great storytelling from Latin America and Latinos in the United States, come on over and listen to us.
En Español.
En Español.
Our intern is Sally Helm. Our show is produced by Nick Fountain, otherwise known as Nico Fuentes.
Nico Fuentes sounds like a salsa singer. And also, I'd like to thank Daniel Alarcón, the executive producer of Radio Ambulante, and my mom. Hi, Mom.
I'm Robert Smith.
And I'm Luis Treyes.
Thanks for listening.